Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
Hello again. So this is the fourth and final aspect of our current cybersecurity program, the Introduction to Cybersecurity. We're going to talk now about more effective protection than we've discussed in the last three modules. We carry with us a phone which connects automatically to the internet and the World Wide Web, and with it, all of the web's inherent global opportunities for misuse. Our safety is secure as long as we understand the issues and have the appropriate protections inbuilt. So let's discuss the most present danger, our telephones. We either don't protect the phones at all, or usually we protect them with a password or with patterns that we trace with our finger. Using a pattern to lock the screen can leave obvious shapes to follow from the grease on our fingers, which reduces the guesswork for attackers and thieves. So we must wipe our phone screens often, and not just for COVID. If we forget our passwords or patterns, then the phones will generally offer us a fixed number of attempts to open them up. Assuming they're stolen or being used by others, then they usually reset after a few attempts. They may even automatically wipe, erasing all contents, or we may even do this from remote if we realise that the information on them is liable to be abused, stolen, or have the ability to report back their location to the owner. These actions may combine to make thieves think twice about stealing our phones or devices. There are certainly fewer phone thefts than there were 5 or 6 years ago, because this technology has advanced so much. We also have more effective protection systems in newer devices, if we wish to activate them, such as biometric systems. Now, in 2021, these are relatively newly developed and still developing systems that use our individual and unique biological characteristics. So, for example, our facial features using the front-facing camera, our fingerprint, our iris and retina patterns from our eyes, and voice pattern recognition. Biometric data is by far the easiest and most secure personal protection against data theft. You don't have to remember the passwords or codes, and it's always with you, but even some biometric protections are hackable now. YouTube shows potential criminal methods for fingerprints to be copied and used to open the device, although YouTube are beginning now to remove these hacking videos, hopefully. Remote access. Would-be thieves can gain access to your phones from afar because of the vulnerabilities of Bluetooth connections when using public wireless networks. So, for example, you're in a cafe and you're using the wireless. It is possible for a thief to use your phone's Bluetooth connection to get the data on your phone. They might even be sitting right behind you. If they get into your system for just a few minutes, they can gain control and steal information or access data to other accounts. Also, consider using a privacy screen protector on your device. These ensure that unless somebody is right next to you, they cannot see your blackened out screen because the angle of view is only 60 degrees. Ensure that the operating systems are on automatic update as well, so that new forms of attack can be dealt with as soon as they become available. If you keep your Bluetooth connections open when you don't need them, then you're just inviting hackers to try and get into your phones. So get into the habit of switching Bluetooth off when you don't need it. Of course, ensuring the device has automatic updates switched on is reassuring in that new security updates are installed as they immediately become available. Where e-commerce is concerned and our money is being exchanged or moved around by online banking, we now have two-factor authentication. You remember the 2FA? which offers a second level of defense because both of the forms of identification are required. Two-factor identification means you need two different methods of proving who you are. Just offering two passwords will not be considered two-factor authentication. Usually, a personal password and some kind of code, which is usually sent to us immediately via your phone app to your registered mobile number, for example. So it's more unlikely to be successfully hacked into and personal data quickly taken by someone who just managed to discover our password. They would also have our phone and access to hand, ensuring that it's much more difficult and much more complicated to achieve an effective access to our bank or our PayPal account, as they'd have to get hold of two types of identification, including a predetermined piece of personal information, which means they also need our phone. Another method of the double security check would be a fingerprint scan plus a preset answer to a personal question, such as, for example, the street you grew up on or your favourite teacher's name. Remember, do not give this information to quiz apps or when registering for app access. Ask yourself, why do they need to know this information and what can they do with it? Even though we know now a fingerprint could be successfully copied, they would still need to have access to another secret word or phrase, hence the need for two-factor authentication. USBs, USB flash drives and memory sticks, are increasingly being banned from use within corporate systems at work or schools, as they've been found to be susceptible to infecting networks with viruses. USBs are convenient information and software storage devices used to transfer information from one device to another. But so are obviously partners for malware distribution, not only to random systems, but can also cleverly be targeted to specific systems. So if you were to find a USB, it seems quite reasonable to plug it into your device to find out whose it is so you can give it back to them. So now your PC is infected with that virus. And unless you have very up-to-date cybersecurity software, it's unlikely you would even be aware that this had happened, unless the desired effect was a sudden and catastrophic crash of the entire network system. There may be an occasion when you're lent a USB to transfer information to your device, and the owner doesn't know that one of the programs or documents stored on the USB is infected. As USBs have reduced in size and cost, they've also become freebies given away as gifts, whether with a purchase or for completion of personal information or even with conference registration or in party bags for kids. It should now be obvious that if you were to use these, it would be necessary to scan them for viruses prior to their use. So ensure that your schools and your cybersecurity software has a USB scanner activated before any apps, programs, or documents are opened. The way to keep safe is just to bear in mind what could happen. In the worst case scenario, thinking this way is what we call recognizing and mitigating risk. We're going to talk about recognizing and mitigating risk in another chat. Don't forget you can contact us at any time, and I promise we won't ask you for any personal questions. Thank you for your time and keep safe.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.